Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, the headlines, they've been hot this week, and they are constantly trending. The top stories of the week, that is what we are talking about tonight. We will be discussing President Trump's recent statements about Dr. Christine Blasey Ford during a rally in Mississippi yesterday. Also Kanye West sharing his opinion on the 13th Amendment. And the D.C. Council on its way to repealing Initiative 77. What does that mean? And also the mayor wants to increase the fines for speeding tickets. And President Obama says he has some candidates that he plans on supporting who he thinks can win on the Democrat side. We're talking about all of that tonight. We're going to squeeze it all in. We'd like to hear your questions, your comments. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. 7810. Our guest tonight, Deborah Simmons in studio. She is a reporter with the Washington Times and a frequent panelist here on the roundtable. And Misha Green, D.C. editor with the Afro newspaper. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Misha, you're to my right. And since I'm right-handed, I'm going to start with you. President Trump in Mississippi at a rally with his supporters. And he says, Christine Blasey Ford, we may even run that soundbite again at some point. First she said what happened. She doesn't know the house where it was. Then she said she got a ride home. She didn't know who took her home. And then she just said she doesn't even know where the house was, where the alleged attack took place. Republicans had said before, President Trump, don't say anything. And
yes.
Now the president can't help himself.
I mean, but are we surprised? He can't help himself on Twitter. He can't help himself in person. The president is a privileged man. He's never had to help himself. So why, when someone who is really advocating for themselves and in their lives and their livelihood at this juncture, would he be empathetic for it? Not at all surprised. And the people in Mississippi want to hear those things. And those are the people that voted him in. And so, unfortunately, he is using his same tactics of being controversial in order to get the people who he represents their ideals. And I think that's something really that is scary and important to note.
Deborah Simmons, Brett Kavanaugh is still being investigated by the FBI.
Yes, he
is. And the president had said Ms. Blasey Ford's testimony initially, very credible.
Mm-hmm.
What happened last night?
He paid attention or read what she had actually said. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Look, the worst thing President Trump did in front of, I think there's a population of like 48, 50,000 down in South Haven, Mississippi. What he did was he tried to do a Saturday Night Live routine of Alec Baldwin doing him being Donald Trump and Donald Trump bringing us home to who he really is. And that's that he comments about whatever and whenever. He held his gut tight, his tongue tight for a week, and then he just let loose. But I don't think he should be judged on, and it was a comedic, that's the way I took it.
Mm-hmm.
I took it as a bit of comedy, him doing Alec Baldwin, not him being Donald Trump. The thing is that no accusation of sexual assault, attack, rape should ever be taken lightly. On the other hand, what I'm deathly afraid of is what happened to an Emmett Till. When one somebody told some other somebody, told some other somebody, mm-hmm. that he had winked at her, whistled at her, or whatever it does. And with the atmosphere we have right now, where it seems to be two camps, you either resist everything that comes from Trump, the White House, and the Republicans, or you go along with everything that comes from Trump, the Republicans, and the Democrats. And we're at that crossroads right now, and it scares the heck out of me that now accusations are either going to be taken too lightly, because we women fought long and hard to get rape alone itself as a felony on the FBI data book. And it wasn't. It was just all sexual assaults were just all lumped in together. But that was not an easy fight to fight.
Yeah, but Misha, does this work for President Trump? Because he also said earlier in the week, listen, this is an attack on young men right now in America. I am afraid for young men because of the allegations that can come out there. And if there is not anyone to back them up, it can ruin your career. Megyn Kelly came out to this week and said, listen, not every woman should be believed who makes an allegation. Right. So as much as we've been talking about drinking with Brett Kavanaugh, the president really kind of took it back there in terms of the issue of sexual assault and who do you believe and where the backup is for the story. So I know you said it works for the president, but just for his base, does it hurt him?
You know, again, obviously him mocking Blasey Ford as well as making the comment that we should be concerned about men in America because of possible sexual accusations is what his people want to hear. And so that's why I said that his base, for sure, they don't care. And I think Deborah said it best that right now, people are following the extremes of either side of what they believe in. And so that's the issue. You know, of course, the comments were incredibly egregious. And it makes me think, gosh, you know, there's these poor white privileged tears because people have been accused in the black community of doing things for a number of years and they were completely innocent. And all we do is say sorry when they're finally released, and if now, they're released.
And there are prison projects going on right now, some coming from happening here, right here in D.C. even, that are getting some of these men who have been in prison 10, 20, 30, 35 years, a lifetime even, who were accused of something, but thanks to DNA, they can now prove, no, he wasn't the rapist.
Yeah.
Well, I think the issue, too, with President Trump, again, the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We have to look at it through, right, a political prism. And President Trump, if he loses those white, educated female voters at the midterm elections, which are now just a month and a couple of days away, he has to be looking at that. And you would think that he would be thinking about that when he makes those statements.
That's not his job.
What is his job?
He's out there rallying for votes, isn't he? He's going out rallying for people to vote for Republicans.
Right.
In general, and Republicans in particular that he's endorsed.
But if they don't like what he says, when they go on that poll, they're going to look at R, they're going to look at D, and they're going to look at the top of the ticket, even though the president isn't running, right?
Right.
If they don't like what the president says and they see a Republican candidate, they may go,
We know already they are going to vote Republican because that's what they do.
Wait a minute. Misha.
I would say the same about Democrats. I don't disagree with you if that's where you're
so
going.
So there are no you don't see the crossover?
There's definitely crossover, but let me complete my point before, which is that if we're going based off of inappropriate comments, right, and his concern, which we know he got the educated white vote before, he did and made comments like that in 2016.
So are we immune to it then? I think
those that support him absolutely are. I mean, this is no more egregious than him teasing a reporter who has issues, who is disabled. This is no different from him kicking out.
But Misha, I would argue, even those who are opponents of President Trump might be immune to it. It's like anything. If you hear it enough and enough times, you may be upset. Right. But and we're talking about this, and how often have we? Hold your thought though, because I just want to make sure we get to the phone lines before we have to bump over to the other side. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Let's go to Lisa calling in from Gaithersburg. Go right ahead, Lisa.
Yes, I'd like to know, why are we discussing this aspect of this guy's life when what's far more egregious is his record? I think this is a distraction, not to say that it's not a serious charge, but his record is egregious, and this is not something, in evaluating it, he's not somebody that we want on the Supreme Court handling issues that issues that African Americans and our partners have helped us have fought against for a long time, civil rights. I mean, it's an important issue. The allegations are important, and Donald Trump's behavior is, I mean, egregious. But we need to discuss this guy Kavanaugh's record.
Well, Deborah, I think one of the issues maybe the Democrats may say is that we really can't get deep into his record because we can't get a hold of all of his writings that we would want to. I'm throwing it out there. She just what do you call that? Whatever you did. Lisa's point.
I understand what Lisa's saying. Here's the thing. Whenever a judge, an appeals court judge and or a Supreme Court judge is considered, the duty to the overseers is to look at that judge's record. Do they know the law? Okay. If they don't know the law, then they can just wet the tip of their finger, put it in the air, and go anywhere. You might not know where. I appreciate everything Eleanor Norton does for D.C., for example, because she's a constitutional law expert. But some of the things she does, I'm like, that ain't got nothing to do with the Constitution. For example, education. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say the federal government and the states have to provide education. And so it's left up to the states and the cities and the counties. I respect that. The problem is we want the president to go in and I'm going to give more money to this and I'm going to give this money for this for schools. I'm going to make sure everybody gets a red pair and a blue pair because we have red and blue states. The kids don't get the red and blue shoes, but there's nobody to hold them accountable for that. That's the problem. And that's the why I appreciate more a constitutional law expert than I do the jurist who hold, like I said, what's his pointy finger and holds it in to see which way the wind is blowing.
Now, I want to pivot from that just because I want to make sure we get this in for our listeners and we can come back to President Trump and his taxes and we're going to talk about that. But you talked about Eleanor Holmes Norton in D.C., constitutional lawyer. Mm-hmm. And I do want to sort of shift over, if we can, really very D.C. in terms of Initiative 77. We see that the council, they are on their way to repealing Initiative 77. Right. This is where tipped workers would make the minimum wage that normal workers make in the city. The council wants to repeal it. The mayor has said she wants it repealed. And so the issue becomes this. We know that the federal government can come into D.C. and say, look, we can appropriate how much money we want to you. And if there are some issues that we don't like about that, we'll hold that money. And D.C. officials get very upset with that. And they say, well, wait a minute. We've got home rule here. We know what our people want. Now your people have said we want minimum wage. But the D.C. council says, well, you're not really sure what you want. So we're going to turn that around and do something otherwise. Is that hypocritical of what the D.C. council did? Is planning and trying to do.
So, absolutely. You can call it hypocritical if you want to. But I think the reason why they feel it's justified is because of the narrative and everything that was surrounding getting Initiative 77 passed. We here in Washington, D.C., at least, love equal pay and we love justice. And so that was what the initiative stood for people. Nonetheless, that is not what tipped workers want. And that was the D.C. Council stepping in to save the day.
Deborah Simmons, I'm going to give you about 20 seconds, but you can finish it on the other side.
The thing is that I don't know any of us who didn't know somebody college age or younger who bus tables.
Yes.
Gave somebody their big burger or whatever it was and appreciated every dime they made in
Absolutely.
The tip. Every dime.
Yeah.
We're going to continue this on Initiative 77 because I got a couple of more questions. And so if you want to be in on the conversation, stay with us. It will continue on the other side on SiriusXM Channel 141. If you're on the phone line, stay right there. Give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking all things newsy on the Reporters Roundtable. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryan in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, our insight segment, it is the Reporters Roundtable. We're talking about all the hot things in the news so far this week, and we're only on hump day, and there's plenty to talk about already. President Trump, his taxes, his Mississippi rally, Initiative 77, D.C. speeding ticket fines apparently may go up. Kanye West wants part of the 13th Amendment repealed. And in case you don't know what the 13th Amendment is, it basically eliminated slavery. So he wants some adjustments to that. We're going to talk about that. In studio with us to talk about that and more is Deborah Simmons. She's a reporter with The Washington Times, and Misha Green, D.C. editor with the Afro newspaper. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Deborah, I only gave you about 20 seconds on Initiative 77, but I want to push this again. How can the D.C. Council stand by their position in the sense of the way that the federal government can treat the D.C. residents in whole and say it doesn't matter what you or the council say. If we decide things should be different, we have the ultimate say. So it's not the will of the people. If the D.C. council can say the same thing after there's a ballot initiative by the people to say we want this, but the council goes, no.
Two things.
Yes.
One is the Constitution itself. We're going right back there. Mm-hmm. The Constitution gives the prerogative for all things D.C. to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number one. Number two, the TIPT initiative was not solely generated by voters and residents and citizens of the District of Columbia. It was a nationwide thing. Even Jane Fonda was jet setting around the country, have everybody make the same amount of money at the same time, no matter what they do. Mm-hmm. Is that fair? What kind of fair is that?
Yeah, but you may not think it's fair, Deborah
Simmons.
No,
it's fair for a wealthy woman like Jane Fonda.
But Deborah Simmons, I would say to
ex-wife,
you.
Ex-wife, wealthy woman.
If we have a Republican government, mm-hmm. by the consent of the people, and I mean little r, mm-hmm. and the people say, this is what we want, I would say the Constitution is in full board and is working the way the founders expected it to work. So
not when I have people from New York and California and Florida and Michigan and everywhere else marching on my streets that I have to pay taxes for.
Yes, indeed.
To give them police cover when they in here raising hell. Don't come here and tell me what you want to do with my tax money.
Deborah's
completely
right.
So you have to remember, this is the same thing that Congress does. Granted, the council was smart, alecky, when it reversed the term limits initiative a couple of decades ago. Mm-hmm. I get that. And that was from the people. We didn't have nobody else telling us what to do about that. We y'all around a little bit too long.
See, Deborah, you needed to be in my history class today that I'm teaching because they, you know, the founders were basically saying, look, democracy, we don't really trust the peasants. We don't trust the regular people, right? That's where the Electoral College came from, but that's another class conversation.
But I also just want to say this because, Deborah, first of all, you're completely right. This was a national issue that somehow came all up in our turf. Mm. But I also think it's important to know is that while 80% of those that, while the district voted and while 80% voted for Mayor Bowser to get back into office for the next term, what we saw is that most of the district did not come out for those primaries where that very integral vote was on the table. And that's the real issue is that the district's vote was
we
not even
voting?
We, you know, we're, well, look, that's a big problem. Vote, guys. But larger than that, when it comes to Initiative 77, is it was not really the voice of the people that had a say in this particular issue. And so the council is doing what they can because they've listened to the people who it actually affects. And, you know, I admire them for that, for listening and taking the time to have those hearings and talking to those people and talking to the small business owners and saying, hey, we are not okay with this. We're going to tip our workers.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Reporters Roundtable with Deborah Simmons of The Washington Times and Misha Green of the Afro newspaper. We'll go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Let's go back to President Trump. The New York Times, a blistering article. It comes out and says that President Trump made most of his money because not only his father had given it to him, but his family gained money by tax shelters, by doing some shifty things with the taxes. What's interesting is Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, oh, this is an old story. It's recycled. Falsehoods. But the denial, Deborah Simmons, to me, didn't really seem all that strong with facts and statistics from the White House.
I don't need Sarah's. Look, here's what I want Huckabee to do when she gets the podium. I want her to tell me the big and the small of what's going on in the White House, in the presidential administration. That's what I want all press secretaries to do. If they just have to stand at the podium and take questions about, did he file his taxes? How much did he get? What about this number? What about that? Then is his long dead daddy, who's gone on the glory, what did he have to do with this? What about Ivanka? Did she benefit from any of this money? Is this how she started her fashion line? Come on.
It doesn't matter to you?
That doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is if an individual breaks a law, not if they saw a loophole and took advantage of a law.
So what you
look, I get anxiety using TurboTax every year just trying to do my
little
bit of taxes.
But aren't you breaking the law? Let's say if we go by what the Times reported.
The New York Times.
I know you work for the Washington Times.
Get it right.
And they say that the Trump family would take properties and it say it was valued at, let's just take a round number, at 100%. The allegation is that then the Trump family would value it at 4%, 96% less than what it was actually worth.
Right. When did this happen?
Misha, isn't that breaking the
law?
When
did this happen?
You mean before he was the president?
When did this happen?
If they're saying, I know they're saying this was a part of his dad's business and, of course, happening until the 90s. So, yes, it was.
But the allegation was that the children helped him.
Exactly.
Maneuver these things.
But, you know, this goes back to why we're currently trying to figure out if Brett Kavanaugh is going to be our the next Supreme Court justice. It doesn't matter if it happened years ago. It doesn't matter if he simply just found a loophole in the law and used it to his advantage. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
Use a loophole?
To lie about the percentage of things in order to then get a tax benefit.
And I don't think
wrong.
The allegation is that he was using loopholes. It's that they were misrepresenting
exactly. The
values of property and moving properties in different shelters and areas where they weren't allowed to do it if they had actually.
And I have to say it every time I come. I am not a Trump defender. The thing is, if he did something in the 90s, that cannot be prosecuted now, whether it was him, daddy, all the grandbabies, and everybody else. What use is that information?
It's the same argument right now. Kavanaugh was in high school when the
right. So
this,
of
this
what
happened.
Use to me?
Because why do you want the leader of your country to be a person who finds a way to evade taxes? And in doing so, you know, I take this particularly personally as an African American woman. The fact is that it just furthered his privilege. It furthered the.
But that's what a 401k does. It furthers your privilege to have money in your pocket.
$413 million is not everyone's 401k.
No, it's not.
It's not, Deborah. It's not. And
I think it's part of the
99.1%
movement.
World.
Hate and get rid of everybody who's wealthy, except George Soros, of course, and all his many dollars.
And so
to fund
I get that. But
like
this is a man who's a leader of the free world, and I think that's a problem. Just like you would not want the person making decisions for your life.
Well, then we shouldn't have elected JFK. You know why? His daddy was a bootlegger and
those things came up too.
What's the male version of a promiscuous person? There you have it.
A pimp?
A pimp.
Well, I guess a pimp makes the money.
I don't know if he's the.
You know what I mean? Really? Look, but if we can get him
but
on
we're
tax
not talking,
occasion,
JFK is long
if he
gone.
Can be,
the person
if he
that's
can
serving
be gotten
us
on tax evasion, then so be it. Bona fide, legitimate tax evasion.
But let me say this so we won't get too stuck on this. I do think part of the issue, and when you made the comparison to JFK's father, Joseph Kennedy, I think the difference here is that what they're saying is that President Trump mm-hmm. and his siblings mm-hmm. helped, were part of this activity
exactly.
of shifting and illegally moving mm-hmm. funds. So I do think that's mm-hmm. what makes it a little different.
And one of his siblings being a judge.
Correct.
Absolutely.
That's right. And that's and that's
absolutely.
So of course
absolutely.
This is a whole nother show, right?
Yeah.
Let's shift it if we can. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We want you guys to get into this conversation because we could really just dominate the whole conversation. But the phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. It's the Reporters Roundtable. Kanye West is married to Kim Kardashian. He's a he's an artist who's sold millions of records. I don't know how well he's been doing of late. I don't buy his music. I don't really listen to his music, but I know of him. But when he speaks, we tend to listen, even if we think it's a little offbeat. Lately, he has said that he believes that there should be some kind of amending of the 13th Amendment. Now, initially, it came out that he said we should get rid of the 13th Amendment.
Yes, abolished.
And the 13th Amendment is abolished slavery. He since said, that's not what I meant. What I meant to say was we should amend it, not abolish it, and specifically that there should be exemptions for, like that exemption in there, for involuntary servitude as punishment for a crime. That's how it should be amended. We should put that in there for the 13th Amendment. Now, is this just crazy talk that puts it out there and then we kind of talk about Kanye West, or is he a symptom of the larger society where this kind of conversation is taken seriously?
So I think, and I heard Van Jones speak on this after mm-hmm. talking to Kim Kardashian, and I do think that it's a mixture of both, which is that Kanye really thinks that this is a great idea. And in certain ways, it comes from the awful criminal justice system that has been trying to be reformed for a number of years and has not done so. And for many years, the narrative and rhetoric around it has been that it is a continuation of slavery. And so, you know, as they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And I think that's sort of where Kanye's impetus is. The problem is he's rocking a Make America Great Again hat. He's saying all, you know, using the wrong words, much less, not having his argument based in fact yet and a lot of research, etc. So Kanye, I need you to take several seats before, making such an assertion. But this time around, I don't think he's absolutely absurd in what made him think about this. Nonetheless, it's not at all fleshed out. He sounds crazy. And, he's really big on this notion of free thought and empowering others to think freely. But, free thought at least has to come from a place of research and understanding. And that is what Kanye does not have yet.
Deborah, don't we already have involuntary servitude? Isn't it called prison, jail?
Well, you don't have to do anything in prison, though. You don't necessarily have to work. Involuntary servitude meant you were doing something and or being punished.
Well, if you had to make a license plate.
Here's the thing. We spend $40,000, $50,000 a head on prisoners. Money that could be going to college and two-year community college tuition. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, let's set that over here. You have somebody like Kanye West, who's an award-winning musician and artist. He writes a lot of stuff. He doesn't just jump up on the stage with that show where you're just doing a battle rapping or trying to beat one another, whatever the deal is. Here's the thing. And Kim is on the prisoner reform tip.
Yes.
Hold your thought right there. Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yeah.
She's married to Kanye West. But we're going to continue this conversation on Kanye West because I want you to fully flesh it out. We're going to take a quick time out. Phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's the Reporters Roundtable. We're talking all of the top stories of the week. And right now, we are talking about Kanye West. And if you want to talk about him, give us a call. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. It's a Reporters Roundtable. That means we're talking about all of the top news stories that are in the news up to today. And a lot has been happening. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Austin, we're going to get to you in 1 second, but I do want Deborah Simmons to finish her point about Kanye West right before we went to break.
I couldn't name a Kanye West song if you wanted to treat me to Ruth Chris Steakhouse right now. With a good juicy,
I have to find
with
one
a good juicy
if you gave
one.
Me that deal.
And I couldn't name that. But what I take is Kanye does a lot of stuff right now. He's a right now kind of guy. And a lot of people that age are. I got to get it done. I want to get it done. Why is she standing up there on the stage and not me?
Mm-hmm.
Which is how he first burst that Taylor bubble Swift, everybody yeah. had. Yeah,
not,
absolutely.
In fairness, though, that was a defense of Beyonce, not him. When he got up on the stage, he was defending Beyonce, not himself.
So that was okay?
Did I say that?
No, I'm just saying.
No,
it was somebody else's time, and he inserted himself. That's what I meant.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I just want the facts.
Every week, just like the president, he inserts himself at least once a week. To the point where they named their child Chicago. Bless her heart, they're not going to call her the whole Chicago. Thank goodness, they're just going to call her Chai or she or whatever
Chai.
It is. Chai.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the thing is that sometimes you have to look at people who insert themselves into your life that way, insinuate themselves into your life. Pay attention to what the message is. They fumble the message. People who are anxious fumble the message. I even stumble over words sometimes because I know tick-tock, and I want to get my point of view in. But pay attention to what his message is. He came back and corrected himself, I believe, on TMZ, which I have to watch every week so I can figure out who's zooming who. But to pay attention to the message. What is the message? Something needs to be done about the 13th Amendment. Study came out today and said, we don't even know what the 13th Amendment is. It was on citizenship. People study this constitutional stuff to become a citizen of the United States, yet we can't even tell you what's in the Constitution. Who signed the Bill of Rights and the Constitution? You see what I mean? But we are insisting that other people learn. What does the 13th Amendment say?
Well, you know, I completely agree, and I think that a lot of people don't know what the 13th Amendment says or what it stands for. But at the end of the day, the issue is, you're right, that he's stumbling so much on the fact that he wants reform, really, of the criminal justice system. And that's what it is. It's not about...
He may want that, right? But I would say this. That once you go there, and if you do know anything about the 13th Amendment, you know the general base of it is that it abolished slavery, right? And so once you throw that out there and use the 13th Amendment as your hook to say, well, I think we should amend this, to your point, Deborah, what folks who do know a little bit about the amendment, they're going to turn around and go, you mean the one that abolished slavery? Why are you picking that one? If you want to talk about citizenship, pick the 14th or the 15th Amendment.
Right, but that goes
rappers do that. They're saying stuff so quickly and so spontaneously and sometimes even using language that another generation might not even understand. And that's what was going on in his head. I read what he said at first and then watched how he came back and corrected himself.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, but
slow down.
Again, that's what our president does, too.
Slow down.
For sure.
202-319-7810. Austin has been waiting patiently on the phone line calling from Germantown. Austin, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Oh, great. Thank you. Fervent conversation. I appreciate it. Just two quick points. One would be that because we are listening and we don't have the benefit of television, we're trying to actively listen, and we would appreciate if point of thought can be completed before there's interruption or the integration of the back and forth takes place. The second point is that we're not trying to go back into past sin and alleviate folks who did what when they were a teenager, but we're saying here's an even playing field. If it can be addressed in one group of people, then it should be addressed for all groups of people, regardless if you have white privilege, whether you have riches.
What are you talking about specifically,
so
Austin?
An example raised about Kavanaugh and his, things that he did as a teenager. You know, we should forget it because it's not applicable. Somebody talked about the grace period or time of I can't think of it right now, but. Where something is done and then you have this elapse of time and you can't go back and bring somebody to justice.
Mm-hmm.
So you were having that fever conversation, but as I was trying to listen, to me it just seems that a sin is a sin is a sin, whether you conducted it 25 years ago or you did it, 1 month ago. If it's applicable to one group of people, it should be applicable to all groups of people. That's the even playing field. That's what we're talking about in the court of law. So Kavanaugh doesn't get a pass. Cosby doesn't get a pass. And Harvey Weinstein and all these other folks in the #MeToo movement don't get a pass.
All right, let me
not fit for service.
Let me let the panel sort of address that. I think I got where you're going here, Austin. He basically says that it should be a one shoe fits all, that it should be even across the plane. Is that realistic?
So, Austin, I definitely understand where you're coming from. I think the danger in that is that people change, for sure. But when we're talking about someone, and I think you may have heard it incorrectly, but we were referencing Donald Trump's tax evasion, and because he is the president of the United States, it doesn't matter if it happened 30 years ago or not. It's a big issue because he's the leader of the free world. And in the same way, it seems like you would agree as well. I'm the one who brought up Kavanaugh in the sense that years ago he was a teenager and made a really poor choice. He might be an amazing dad and not at all.
What did he make a poor choice? Oh, is that going off issue? Make a poor choice?
I said may have. Let me complete my thought, Deborah. I'm only going
may
with facts.
Have.
I'm not an opinion kind of person because I am a journalist.
May have worked.
But yes, he may have made a poor decision. Nonetheless, the reason why it's currently being investigated is because he is someone who, if elected or chosen to work as our Supreme Court justice, will then be making decisions for the entire United States. So, Austin, it seems like we agree. But I think obviously it's dangerous to say that a sin is a sin is a sin for everybody, because everybody is not leading the free world.
I suspect that this conversation with Brett Kavanaugh will not end here, especially if the FBI investigation wraps up this week and Mitch McConnell gets what he wants, which is a vote by the end of this week. Whether Brett Kavanaugh is voted onto the Supreme Court or rejected, either way, I think there's going to be another roundtable conversation all over the country about this issue. But I do want to move on, if we can, and talk about what's going on with D.C. in terms of traffic fines. Mayor Bowser has been pushing this. She wants to see an increase. She says, listen, if you are speeding over, I think it's 25 miles an hour on the speed limit, you're now going to pay $500. Right now, you pay $300 if that's the case.
Right.
The mayor wants $500. Initially, she said she wanted it to be $1,000. And, folks say you need to go back and relook at that. But that's just sort of one of the things. 500, I think if you go through a moving red, let's see, if you streak three, I'm just sort of looking at some of the numbers. $100 for speeding tickets in school zones near recreation senior centers. It's a way for the city to make more money. Deborah, is
Can't
this a good idea?
Can't you hear the sucking noise?
I hear it. Deborah, is this a good idea?
No, it's not. First of all, let's deal with the school zone 15 mile per hour. It's hard to find a school in this city where there already aren't signs posted saying 15 mm-hmm. miles per hour when children. We've all seen them, right?
Yes.
And the flashing yellow lights mm-hmm. warning you, even if you are illiterate and can't read, those flashing yellow lights are telling you to calm down. Here's the thing, because I know some of the history and origin of the ticketing process in the city. The city has always been pissed since the Home Rule Charter passed that it can't tax people who live in Maryland and Virginia. So they started the aggressive parking and speeding program, illegal parking, and that's what started that. And every mayor, male and female, has piled on ever since. Since Marion Barry was mayor, four times? He got four shots at it. Mm-hmm. So they just pile on and pile on and pile on. And everything is always blamed on the motorist. It's not blamed on the daycare teacher who's crossing eight babies in strollers across the street against the red light. Mm-hmm. If a bicyclist is injured, it's always the motorist's fault. It's always the motorist's fault because D.C. has become an anti-motorist city. And I always put my trust on John Townsend and AAA to give me the numbers because they're almost always first in coming out with the dollar signs that are involved. And they always say it's for the city hall always says it's for public safety.
And speaking of Townsend, he says there's not a shred of empirical evidence or research that proves that the higher traffic fines deter bad driving behavior.
Yeah. They're going to still drive crazy.
I give you 15 to 20 seconds on that, Misha, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, no, it's egregious. Mayor Bowser, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. You're already kicking people out of the city with all the gentrification that's happening. And no, not you, Mayor Bowser, but D.C., it's happening. And then you're going to pack on and pile on ridiculously priced tickets. Don't do it. People won't pay it. And it's just going to be worse, bad for everybody.
Well, if people don't pay it, they're still going to
try to collect
it. Yeah, but
I mean, you don't come to me with one hand saying we need higher taxes for homelessness, affordable housing, welfare, food stamps, and all that. And these are the same people who are now going to have to spend what little money they get on a speeding ticket. Really?
$500?
Really?
Deborah Simmons, reporter with the Washington Times. Misha Green, D.C. editor with the Afro newspaper. A spirited conversation. We thank both of you. We thank our callers. That is the Daily Drum on HR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, October 3rd. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Up next, The Connection with Lorna Newton. Have a great night.